You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
And we're with Pastor John Robbins today. Pastor John Robbins, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Very, very grateful and blessed in the Lord, and excited to be here with you, the mayor of the airwaves.
Yeah, that's it. Well, you know, when I started working with WCNO, they told me, they said, well, you're no longer the mayor of the airwaves because Jesus is the mayor here. And at first, of course, my first reaction is the ego, the pride of man is to be, like, hurt, rejected, right, or whatever, taking umbrage. And I realized, yes, it's cool with me.
Absolutely.
Let Jesus be the mayor of the airwaves, and I get just to be the little kid again in God's universe.
Right. And you don't want to be confused with the prince of the power of the air.
That's true. The mayor of air.
Right, exactly. So, anyway.
Well, good to have you here. And, of course, in case you don't know Pastor John Robbins, we do a lot together. And he, of course, runs St. Paul's. St. Paul's has the healing service on Thursdays at 11 a.m., but they also have services on Sunday at 10 o'clock and 8 and 10. 8 and 10, and it's on Flame Vine over on the beach.
St. Paul's. 999 Flame Vine Lane.
999 Flame Vine, and it is Anglican. For years, he and I have known each other, worked together, but I never got really close because I thought, well, you know, Anglican, Catholic, those are organized religions. But I found out that you are a believer in all of the gifts of the Spirit presently, and there's actually been some miraculous healings over there on Thursday mornings at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Is there a new move within the Anglican Church?
Yeah, so there has been a new expression of Anglicanism in the United States that's specifically strongly biblical, focus on biblical teaching and preaching. And in many Anglican churches, there's also a charismatic element to it, a focus on the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, charismatic means like, you know, people may fall down the Spirit, or they might experience, like yesterday, there was somebody who had a healing. Your wife felt this enormous heat come over her.
Right, yeah.
She walked away. She looked like she came out of a sauna. A group of women, and you were praying for this new person who came in.
Right. Yeah.
And she saw the ad in Vero's Voice magazine. If you forget about this, remember, you can look in Vero's Voice magazine and see the ad in there. And every Thursday at 11 o'clock, healing services. If you need healing or someone else, or you want to stand in prox, what do you call it?
Yeah.
Proxy.
Yeah.
For exactly. Someone. You can
stand
actually.
In
is
for
that
someone
biblical?
Else.
Do you know if that's biblical?
Well, what happened? Remember when the centurion came to Jesus and, you know, came on behalf of his sick servant, right? Mm-hmm. And the centurion said, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but simply say the word and my servant will be healed.
And Jesus said, I have not seen such great faith in all of Israel.
Exactly. So the centurion stood in proxy, in essence, for the sick servant.
And the servant was healed instantly.
Yeah, exactly.
What did Paul take a napkin or a handkerchief and bless it, and then they took? What was that story? I forget that one.
It's in the Book of Acts. I can't remember exactly the place in the Book of Acts, but yeah, they were blessing napkins or whatever, and people who were touching that were getting healed. In other words, he would pray over that. Mm. A lot of people feel like I think that has been abused over the years, and it almost. You'll find certain Pentecostal or different organizations will send those things out to the mail. And sadly, you know, there sometimes witchcraft will get involved in that. So it's not something that we, generally speaking, get involved with.
Yeah.
The blessing of napkins.
The blurred lines.
Although there's biblical precedent for it. And so anyway.
Well, listen, why don't you lead us in a little bit of just a very short prayer for the listeners and for what we're going to invite the Lord to be participatory in this interview today.
Yeah, absolutely. Father, we can't thank you enough for the amazing honor that you've given us to come before your throne of grace and to discuss issues of importance to the church. And so, Lord, I pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on us. Lord, that everything that we say and do would bring honor and glory to you. And we bless every person listening to this broadcast today. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Jesus is Lord. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to talk about nuns, but not N-U-N-S. These are nuns that have no affiliation with any quote-unquote religious group.
right?
Explain this to us, would you please?
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure it's Pew Research, which is a very well-known, well-regarded research firm, has been tracking.
When you said Pew, I thought maybe it was people talking, hey, did you hear this? telephone, no.
Yeah, P-E-W, Pew Research, has in essence done market research on religious demographics in the United States and elsewhere for some time. And one of the things that they found, I think it was in the 2010s, especially the rise of what they called the nones, the N-O-N-E-S, nones. And these were people with no, they would check on a box on a market survey that they have no religious affiliation. And in essence, it spiked quite radically in the 2000s up to the 2010s. And it surged from 21% of the population to 32% of the population, marking the largest and fastest religious shift since the Civil War. And so the question is, you know, why these were not agnostics or atheists. This is a different group. Atheists and agnostics have consistently comprised somewhere in the neighborhood of 12% of the
American population. Now, an agnostic is someone who's not sure if there's God. An atheist is someone who is certain there is no God.
Exactly. Yep. And so the nuns, some in that nun category, are actually believing or spiritual people, but they just do not affiliate with any particular organization or religion. And it rose dramatically in that time period to the point where it got to be about 32% of the population. But now it has stopped rising. It has plateaued.
Well, it's funny. I was a nun, N-O-N-E, for all these years. Because in the book it says, cursed is the David, King David said, cursed is the man that maketh man his trust. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. And I've had issues with human beings for a long time. So it really wasn't, I've had, Alex out west of town, great pastor, kind of felt really close to him, but then it's a big, big, big church. So I would say you're probably the first one that I actually was willing to put the name pastor to and ask you to be my guide under the hand of Jesus, you know? Mm-hmm. So even I have stepped out of the nun thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a lot of, I had to learn this phrase from my children, from our children. I came to them and I said, I'm reading this phrase in some of the current media, the phrase church hurt. Have you heard of it? And they laughed at me. They're like, what are you kidding me? Church hurt is very well known and a common vernacular among younger people who have been hurt by the church. And as a result of church hurt, many of them have basically taken themselves out of the mix in
terms
of regular church.
And the sad thing is they associate that with Jesus. And, you know, because you've got I'm not allowed to say airhead because the Bible says if you call your brethren airhead, you're in danger of hellfire and judgment from the council. But you've got some airheads out there. Forgive me, Father.
Forgive us, Lord. Yeah.
But people that they get born again and suddenly they get cock-a-doodle. They find out God is real, as I did. And I remember way back when I got my heart really smushed and crushed by a young lady. But I believe the Lord's hand was in it. I said, why are you doing this? And the unction that I got was I had to deliver you from a spirit of religion. Mm-hmm. I think if I didn't have some element of sin in my life for many years, that I would have been arrogant in sending people, you're going to go to hell, all that fire and brimstone crap. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think the Lord finally said, look, I didn't call you to be Jesus. You're not going to wear this purple robe. You're not going to be the judge. Mm-hmm. I've called you to wash the feet of others and to be in service of every human I encounter above self. Now, it's hard to remember that. But really, like right now, you're first in this room. If I'm in a room of 10 people, they're really first. The great thing about it is we run from this in our lives thinking we have to protect ourselves or we got something to protect, whereas the joy comes in serving others.
Right. And generally speaking, you can serve others anywhere, right?
Yes.
However, the Lord has given us the church, the ecclesia, as his body.
Ecclesia
is, there's a number of, it's translate, ecclesia is Greek and it's translated church. And in essence, speaks to the body of Christ. And this is who we're called to be. But of course, whenever you bring Christians together, any human beings together, there's sin involved. And the possibility for church hurt is always possible.
Yeah, well, you know, you're human. You're going to let me down, and I'm going to let you down. My friend David Usher taught me this years ago, and it is true. We are in a skeletal remains of paradise. We're in a fallen state. Otherwise, everything would be perfection. And so but we learn from falling.
Right. We need each other. And this is the key thing. Community is not always, it's not easy to be in community because it's a matter of time before someone lets someone else down.
As iron sharpeneth iron, so a friend's countenance sharpeneth his friend's countenance. It's why I like to stay away. I don't want to get too close to anybody here. Right. I don't want you seeing the real guy inside.
Exactly. Yeah, because there's accountability involved in these relationships and in fellowship. And many of us don't really want that. We know we need it, but it can get tough, you know, when your own sin is revealed in the context of relationships. And so I'm not surprised that these nuns,
N-O-N-E-S,
in essence, many of them, I suspect, were either hurt by the church. The market surveys seem to indicate that they're very sensitive about a number of things. Things going on in the church that they view as hypocritical. They're very sensitive to hypocrisy, right? They're very sensitive to the church. They see it as asking for money all the time. And so, of course, they really need to come back to the church. The church needs to do a good or a more faithful job in terms of receiving them back and helping to, in essence, to disciple them, to help them to grow. I don't believe you can grow as a disciple of Jesus outside of community, Christian community of some sort.
I have a friend of mine, and he's a star realtor in town here.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for New Day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon. Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
On my heart play the sounds of redemption, golden bowls filled with prayers, intercession. Together we make a new song of worship and praise. Will reign over all of the earth. We're destined to be the servants who carry your name. Tribe.